starting at verse 36 to set the scenes for you. This is in Gethsemane, and Jesus is going to pray. He's very troubled. He's about to be crucified, arrested, all of the things. And he says, and then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. You know, there's a lot of times in our life when we get in these troubled moments and we have our friends, we have those people that are closest to us. And Jill, what we really want and need from them is just to be there, to help us and to pray and to just be there and just be with us. And I want to remind you that in his word, it tells us that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's a person that sticks closer than your closest friend, and that person is Jesus Christ. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because he doesn't change, you can rely on him. Because he doesn't change, you can rely on God. There's so much in life that changes from one day to the next, but because he stays the same, we can rely on him. Yep. Amen. And so it says here, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And there's times in our life where you can literally feel yourself heading down this road to be sorrowful and troubled. Those seasons, they're going to happen in your life. Because God did not promise that this life would be without its trials. He actually told us and he warned us. He said, in this life, there's going to be trials and there's going to be tribulation. He's given us that heads up. But then he tells us, be of good cheer. Be positive anyways. And he tells us why. Because I've overcome it. I've overcome it. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You're an overcomer on your worst day, no matter how you feel, and your feelings are not facts, no matter how you feel, because you're his kid, you're overcoming it. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It matters what God has said about it, and it matters what he said over you. And the only way that you'll ever know what Christ has to say is when you get into his word and you let that word get inside of you. It'll define you. And so it says here, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Here's the thing. If you think that you're getting out of this life unscathed, you're not. And sometimes where we go wrong is we think that we're invincible and untouchable. Here we see Christ and he says, I am so overwhelmed. We live in a troubled world. And at times you're going to be overwhelmed. At times you're going to be full of sorrow. But that's not where that story ends for you. It doesn't end there. It's never ending on a sour note for you. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, make this cup be taken from me. What did the cup represent? Suffering. Suffering. It represented him becoming something that he never was and that he never did. And his cup was the very reason he came. And what did he ask? If there's any way. He prayed to his Father and he said, if there is any way possible, let this cup pass from me. How many times do we say, God, just take it away. God, just take it away. Lord, just take it away. I have prayed those prayers. There have been times where God has literally taken it away. But I'm going to tell you something. If your faith only consists of the moments where he just takes it out of the way, you're going to have to grow your faith because you're not a mature Christian. Because the second that God doesn't just take it away, you're going to start wondering if there is a God. That's the problem with people. Amen? Amen. And we see Jesus, and he says, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. And then he says something powerful that we all have to find ourselves, and we have to see ourselves in this account. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. God, I see the sorrow that I'm right on the brink of. I know there's pain. I know there's suffering. I know there's things. God, if you can take it from me, Lord, please do. But God, nevertheless, your will be done. When you know that suffering is in your cards and it's in your story, can you shift your prayer to say, God, help me to endure. Let me endure it. God, if this is what I've got to go through, I'm getting through it. Sometimes the will of God involves suffering. And pastors don't like to preach about that because it doesn't fill the pew. Amen, Moni? That kind of preaching doesn't fill the pew, but it does save people and it does get people directed to heaven, because the problem is when you only hear the messages about how great everything is, that doesn't get you to heaven. That just gets you to believing that life is never going to have anything bad happen. Yeah. You need somebody that's going to point these scriptures out where Jesus Christ himself said, gosh, I don't want to go through that, but you know what? Your will be done. Your will be done. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. That's the thing about people, is at times they're not dependable. He asked them to do two things, stay with them and pray. They missed the mark on that. And we get irritated with people because we want them to be there for us. And let me just explain something to you. It's ordained in your life at some point in time for everybody that you count on to slip up or to let you down. And guess what? That's where God comes in, and he's there. Yeah. If you're sitting there thinking that the people you love the most aren't going to be a disappointment, you're going to be disappointed. Because nobody can be there for you 100% of the time, and nobody can be the person you want them to be for you 100% of the time. And we put unrealistic expectations on other people, and then we're discouraged and offended. What you can expect is for God to be the same. You can expect him to be what he's always been for you. And it says, then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Verse 42, he went away a second time and he prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken unless I drink it, may your will be done. May your will be done. So here we are with our cup. How many of you could feel yourself about to go into a season where it's going to be discouraging, whether it's going to be hard? We get to these seasons where we know we're about to go through it. I've been there. I've seen y'all go there. And here's Jesus himself. And he says, I'm going to read it to you again because I don't like to misquote what he said. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, unless I drink it, unless I drink it, may your will be done. May your will be done. See, for those seasons in life where sorrow's been poured up, and you're asking God, Lord, please keep me from that. God, keep me from it. And that cup of sorrow is right there. Find yourself in this. Because Jesus himself said, if there's no other way than I drink this, then your will be done. And guess what he did? He did it. He drank it. The word is full of things about our cup, okay? Go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The world would have little quotes for you, like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We've all heard it, and we've probably all said it. And oddly enough, there's things very much like it in the Word. But see, the world doesn't like to quote the Scripture. And it's funny, because what they don't realize, Jill, is a lot of times they are, and they don't even know it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. See, when you've got your cup and you see what you're about to have to drink, a lot of people get tempted to leave God. A lot of people get tempted to neglect their relationship with God. A lot of people want to blame God. A lot of people think that that is the time to just say, God's not real. Here's what we know. There's nothing that you're going to go through where God's not going to provide you an out. He's going to provide a way. So don't let your temptation to walk in your flesh get the better of you. There's been a lot of times just in the past 6.5 years that I've pastored, people leave the church and you think, what, you know, the pastor always thinks, what did I do? Because we want to blame ourselves. And sometimes it takes several months to see really what the deal was. But most of the time, it has nothing to do with the church and nothing to do with the pastor. And almost every single time, it has to do with secret sin in their life that nobody knows about. Maybe it's just a simple thing like the indulges that we let our mind go to. The Word says that we're not tempted beyond what we can bear. What does that tell us? We can't use, well, we were tempted and we just caved in. We can't use that as an excuse because, see, God's not going to tempt us beyond what we can bear. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 5. We're talking about your cup this evening. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 5. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. My portion and my cup. Lord, you've assigned me my portion and my cup. What does that mean for the believer? You're on assignment. You have an assignment. You're not here by accident. There's something that you were meant to do. A lot of people run from it and they're never happy because they never just yield to what the will of God is for their life. It was funny, when I was about 16 years old, we had a guest speaker, and I don't remember who it was, but they told me something, and I've never forgot it. They said, Kelly, don't ever start drinking, because you're just the type of girl. You'd be in the bar, and you'd be drinking, and you'd be preaching about Jesus. And that's the truth. Lord, you've assigned me my portion and my cup. If you've ever been here on a Monday night, you know that a lot of times we'll just use a measuring cup. And Moni will say, how much are they getting? And I'll pull out several of these different sizes and I'll say, we're going to figure this out. Now in the past, when we first started, we went through a lot of food. Because it was uncharted territory and I'm an extremist. So I always made too much. Thanks to Frank, he's got me narrowed in most of the time. But I'll say, okay, we're going to cook for 228 people. This is the helping size. We're going to do some math, which is always horrifying for me to do. And we're going to go from there, and we're going to see what everybody's going to get. Everybody that's ever breathed and that's ever been on this earth, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. God knows how much to give you to do. He knows how much to give you to say. He knows how much to give you to give. He knows every right amount for you because he's assigned you your portion. So when we feel like, and I say feel, and I always say feelings aren't facts. Moni, there's times where we feel like we just can't. And there's times where legitimately maybe we can't, but I'm going to tell you something. God always can. He always can. He's given you your portion and your cup. Now, in the beginning, I think a lot of people do this if you're real gung-ho. I mean, I'm still gung-ho, but not near like I used to be. The problem when you get super overwhelmed is when you're doing things that aren't in your cup and aren't in your portion. That's a good way to get yourself all burned out. See, God will tell you what to partake in and what to do and what not to do. And if only good deeds got you to heaven, boy, a lot of people would have it right. But they don't. You could gain the whole world and still lose your soul. What does that mean? You could do all the good things and still go straight to hell. Stay in the measuring cup. Stay in your portion. Whatever's up in your cup, if he don't take it from you, don't sit there and be like, oh my gosh, I can't go through anything. No, you can. You can go through it. He's going to help you go through it. What did Jesus say? Well, if there's no other around it but that I drink the cup, your will be done. And he drank it, and he did it, and he was crucified. And 3 days after that, prophecy was fulfilled, and he rose again. Amen. Let's go to Psalm chapter 23. And I'm actually, y'all go to Psalm 23. I'm going to finish this verse. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. You have made my lot secure. So, a lot of people in life are insecure. We're insecure. And here's what I can tell you. Whatever God has ordained for you and whatever God has truly given you, nobody's taken that from you. If God opened a door, nobody's shutting that door. And if God shut the door, nobody's opening that door. You have made my lot secure. You've made it secure. The believer needs to work on our confidence. Secure. We're secure. If somebody could take it from you, it wouldn't be from God. Everything in life, at some point or another, has tried to knock you down. And look right where you're at tonight. You're sitting right here in a church service on a Sunday night. You're still living and you're still breathing because God saw it fit. We don't need to sit there and look to the left and look to the right and wonder and worry about what this one over here is doing, because really it don't matter. Because when it comes to you, it doesn't matter what this one over here is doing. It doesn't matter what that one over there is doing. And I'm going to say this to you, and God's had to work on me with this, and he's still having to work with me on it. A lot of the insecurity comes from what other people have said about us. And we're too wrapped up in what somebody has said or what somebody's done. Miss Mary, not one word that's been said has defined you as a person. God defines us every single day. So don't be hung up and insecure over, because people talk and we talk. And we talk more than we should. Don't waste time being insecure, because God has given you your cup and he's given you your portion. And what God has given you, nobody can take away from you. The devil really does a great job on making us insecure. It was so funny today. I'm having an issue with TMJ, and I've went to the dentist several times, and that's my least favorite place on the absolute planet to go on is the dentist. I told my dentist the last time I was there, I said, I'm pretty sure that a dental chair is going to be in hell for everybody that didn't live right. I mean, I'm almost positive that that's what's in hell is the dentist chair. And I was sitting here this morning, and I had preached my heart out. My mouth was hurting. Everything was hurting, because when you got TMJ, and that's a matter, the dentist got me in the chair, and he started looking. He said, there's no visible problems with your teeth. There's none. And I'm like, great. So then he gets behind me, and he starts massaging my head, and he says, your whole head is tense. And that's stress. And what am I telling you? Stress will just eat you from the inside out. It'll make you sick if you let it. I was sitting right here this morning, Brenda Babe, and I was talking to everybody. Everyone's talked to the pastor after Sunday morning service. And somebody stopped right here and they said, I didn't act right this week. There's something about me that just looks like a Catholic priest, I guess. But she was like, I didn't act right this week. I thought, you're in the right church. Okay. And she was like, somebody came over my house and they said this, this, and this about the church, and I basically cussed them out. And I said, who was it? Because I was having some thoughts too, and I had just preached about enemies. I mean, we always get an opportunity to live out the sermon almost immediately. And right when I said, who was it, the Holy Spirit was like trying to shut my mouth, because we don't need to know, okay? Curiosity don't need to kill the cat, because the cats need to go on living. And thank God she didn't tell me, because I'd have probably been on their doorstep. The devil will get you fighting fights that literally the devil ordained. And he will get you barking at every dog and every critic around. And here's the deal. I went home and I meditated on that way longer than I should. And thank God there's been growth. Because I concluded, you know what? That's not even true. That's not even true. And then I began to talk to myself. I said, Pastor Kelly, we know that's not true. See, you're going to have a conversation with you and all your personalities, because they're going to all have to get on the same boat with some things in your life. And Jill, I thought of that verse where it tells us not to pay attention to what people say, because we know that we say stuff too. and that we'll overhear things. You don't have time to feel all the insecurity that you feel. God's made you secure, and nobody can take away from that. God knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly the cup and the purpose why he sent you here. There's times where you don't like what's in your cup. Guess what? Drink it and get on with it. We were at the dig the other night, and Frank is a lot healthier than me, and he ordered water. And I ordered sweet tea. And he always drinks his cup really fast, and here's what my thinking is. If I'm going to pay $3 for something, then I'm going to drink a lot of it. So I know I'm so cheap, Dad. I'm going to just bring me the pitcher of tea, okay? We're going to get our money's worth out of this tea situation. That's probably why I've gained like 20 pounds. I've been ordering the stuff, okay? So anyways, Frank orders his water. I've got the tea. I'm getting my refills. She brings his refill, and it's got bubbles in it. And he takes a big old swig of it, and he's like, oh, that's Sprite. And it made me laugh because sometimes we take that drink and we were expecting one thing and we got another. You feel me? And it takes you back for a second. Here's what I told the waitress. I said, put that in a to-go cup. We're not wasting that. I will drink it tonight. Bring him a water, give me the Sprite, and I'm going to drink my tea also. What am I trying to tell you? Look here. Yeah, you know what? That's probably happened to all of us. We drank something, it wasn't right, and it caught us off guard. Your life can't come to a stop or a halt just because something unexpected happens. Because more often than not, Angel, is this not right? The unexpected happens more than the expected. Life is full of unexpected events, some of them very wonderful and some of them very tragic and unexpected. But you can't stop when tragedy happens. You can't stop when the pain in your heart happens. You've got to go forward and you've got to move on and you've got to say, we're moving on. And there's times where the good old send it back can happen. And then there's time where God's saying, there's no other way. There's no other way, and this is what it is. And when that is what it is, drink it and know there's something better on the way. He will not leave you with that. How do I know that? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, I think I read it this morning, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's always right with you to the end. Go with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15:13. Sometimes I think that we have misplaced expectations, and some of the expectations we have really should only be reserved for God. We make the mistake a lot of times of expecting something out of humans that only God could give us. Only God can give us certain things. But there's times where we expect others to be in that role and they can't, and they cannot live up to it. And when they don't, it's just awful for us, and we get mad and we get upset and we get all these things. Evaluate what you're expecting of other people, and then evaluate what you're expecting from God. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, May the God, not anybody else, not anybody else, nobody can do it for you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this morning. We're going to do it again, and we're going to do it in a different way. Miss Mary used to cringe when I would do stuff like this. I've learned, Miss Mary, and I'm going to make it to where I don't make a mess. Every pastor needs a Miss Mary, I can guarantee you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Let Him fill you with the joy and let Him fill you with the peace. You can't get this from anybody else. Here's the problem. We expect people to be our joy and to be our peace. And then when they tick us off or disappoint us, we have no joy and we have no peace. And see, that's called misplaced expectations. A human being can't do this for you. Maybe briefly or for a moment, but can I be real? If you're psychotic enough to think that a human can do this for you, you're going to be very disappointed. How many of you really, really love your spouse? I love mine. I'm so happy with him. But that don't mean I don't get aggravated. He ain't my joy and peace all the time, and I promise you I ain't his all the time. He's probably rethinking some things sometimes. And so it says here, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, as you trust in Him. And here's the important part. Here's the part where life just gets really, really sweet, Billy. We think that if everything was full, life would be sweet at that point. Life is nice at that point. Here's where the sweet part of God really comes in. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So as you get your filling from God, and that only can come through trusting in Him, notice that the verse says that, as you trust in Him, there's a point where your life shifts. And it is the sweetest part of life because it's the part where you're overflowing. You're overflowing with the hope. Here you are. And your life just begins to just overflow. The overflow is your purpose. It's the people you're going to minister to. It's the people that you're going to give them hope. See, the Word of God says that we're going to overflow with hope. What is the hope for? To pass it on to every person that feels down about their self, every person that doesn't feel good about their life, every person that's unsaved. The hope is going to overflow out of us. See, God's the only person that can fill us. So if you're thinking somebody else can do that for you, you're mistaken. And that's probably why there's so many things not going right in life, because we're expecting something that only God can do. But when we get our expectations in the right place, and when we get full of God and our life begins to overflow, that's going to spill into everybody that we come into contact with. That's overflowing into people's lives. What does that do? It changes them. It changes them. Monday, I can't remember what day it was, but I went to the jail and I was ministering to the ladies. And we started the 12-step program with them. And we got to the first step. And it says, we admitted that our lives were powerless and unmanageable. And I told the ladies, I said, I want to challenge you this week. I said, I'm going to be in here next week. And I challenge you to get yourself a piece of paper and a pen. And I made sure that they all had that. And I said, I want you to start a note between you and God and put it on the top, I admit. And there are some things, I said, God's going to begin to direct you, and you're going to begin to admit some things that you've never been able to say before in your life. And this little girl, this is what she said. When I first went in there, I said, do y'all believe in Jesus? There were some yeses, there were some noes, and there was, I'm not sure. And she was the, I'm not sure. And she said, Pastor Kelly, I'm afraid to say what I admit, because if I see it on paper, if I see what I'm admitting to on paper, I'm afraid that when I read it to God and when I talk to God about it, I'm worried that I'm going to start believing that that's who I really am. And I said, that's the beauty about God. He takes everything. And I quoted something that my dad has taught me for years and years and years. And I said, whatever God reveals, God can heal that in your life. And I said, this is something that's private between just you and God. But you need to honestly tell yourself in your heart of hearts, I admit that this was me. I said, and when you're done, you pray over that. And you begin to pray over it, and you pray over it, and you pray over it. Because what you've got to understand about God is it doesn't matter that you don't believe in Him or you're not sure. Because God's real whether or not you believe in Him or not. But the beautiful thing about God is that He's very patient and He's very kind. And I said, God's going to take what you wrote, and He's going to change you into a new person. And He promises that in His Word. How many of you have ever been somebody that you didn't want to be at some point in your life? That hope came from an overflow. Get to this point in your life. If you're not there, I've given you chapter and verse. This is supposed to be you. You're supposed to overflow with hope. God wants the hope to pour out of you, to trickle on to everybody that you encounter. He loves you. If you're in a season that you don't like, you're passing through it. And that's all there is to it. You're going through it. Last place for me this evening, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. So many people are mentally unhealthy. So many people are spiritually unhealthy. And I'm talking about the believer right now. May He strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Your inner being, the core of who you are. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do. The most beautiful thing about God is whatever we think that He can do, He does so much more. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Y'all are going to have opportunity this week to live out the two sermons that's come out of Parris Christian Center today. If you did not hear the message this morning, I would recommend it to every single person. Listen to it. It's relevant for every person. And you're going to have opportunity to live it out. Y'all stand to your feet. I want to thank our sound people today. They have the hardest job in the place. Thank you to our praise and worship folks. We're relieved that we don't have to sing in front of people on a microphone. And we're grateful because y'all do it well. Thank you. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person here tonight. Lord, I ask that you would help us to live out our sermon, live this out tonight. God, let us live it out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Lord, let us live it out for the rest of our lives. God, give us the courage to not go with the tide of what is this society, but God, help us to go with you in our decisions, in our thoughts, in our speech. God, I ask that you would help us in every single way. And Lord, I ask that you bless us, keep us, and make your face shine upon us and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.